This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Beasley switches it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Lloyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, so much to talk about here tonight, so little time. Welcome to the hardest hitting hour of soccer talk here, self-proclaimed. And we are on the air. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. All of you in your cars on the way home, we want to keep you here. We want you to listen into the show tonight. There'll be a little bit of crossover. Number to call in tonight, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. We stream at ESPN975.com, and the show is always podcasted at Spotify, Google, and Apple. Last night, the Houston Dynamo, CONCACAF Champions League, go down 2-1 to St. Louis. All of those who are interested in the Houston Dynamo, we'd like to hear from you tonight. We'd like to get your take on the game. Now, for all the guys that do podcasts, Dynamo Faithful, who else we got out there, Guillermo, as far as the Bayou City, Dynamo Faithful? Guys, come on the show. Get a free plug for your podcast and come on the show and discuss what you saw in the game. And I know I'm missing a couple of the podcasts, and my apologies for that. But for those of you who covered the game in Houston, well, use this as a resource so we can let people know. Come on, have a take on the game, and then just plug your podcast. 713-780-3776. We share. We love to share. Today was a day of UEFA Champions League. We'll get you up to speed on that. Again, the Dynamo preseason has been defined by injury, and last night they were downed in St. Louis in the CONCACAF Champions Cup 2-1, 90th minute goal. They open on Saturday against Sporting Kansas City at home. I've got tickets for that one, and I've got a lot to say about the Dynamo tonight. I would just say stay calm, and again, let's get your thoughts at 713-780-3776. Good friend Warren Barton, former defender for Newcastle United. You've seen him on Fox as an analyst. He's also involved in player development in the youth game. He'll join me live in the final segment. We'll discuss a few things more Premier League related there, and maybe a little bit of Major League Soccer as well. So coming through Houston, we got Women's Gold Cup this week. We have Copa America coming this summer. We have the Men's Gold Cup next summer. 2026 World Cup coming to Houston for a spectacular seven matches. So you fast forward to June in the Copa America. This, in a lot of ways, will give us a bit of that World Cup feel. And people will attend these matches at Energy Stadium with World Cup 2026 in their mind. And the fever will begin to grow as we continue to move forward. So it is a crazy good summer of soccer. And that's before we even talk about the Houston Dynamo opener. And also, the Houston Dash will get underway with the new head coach in Fran Alonso. So we got a lot to talk about tonight. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number. All right, so Tim Parker would put St. Louis up. And I see a lot of people saying, well, Tim Parker, you know, he never scored for the Dynamo. And yeah, but you got to remember the team he was on. It was not a very good team. And if you were a defender, and I've said this on the show before, back on those teams, what you had in front of you was not very protective. It's a whole different ball game. So it's kind of an interesting thing to look at and think about. You know, why didn't he do better here? Well, I mean, I think it was very difficult on that team for any of the center backs at that point. They didn't have an Artur sitting in front of them. 713-780-3776. All right, here's the Sebastian Kovalchuk equalizer. This comes in the 72nd minute here after a wonderful ball from Aliyu Ibrahim.
San Luis ahead in the score. Aliyu. Just danger. Aliyu with the pass. And the equalizer. Yes, goal. Goal.
Okay, so that was Aliyu. It was 1-1 at that point. Tim Parker had scored earlier. Sebas Ferreira had gone off with a hamstring. That was very sad to see. And then Hosai Kijima scores the game winner. This comes in the 90th minute. Now, this is Brooklyn Reigns in the box. Touch kind of gets away from him, goes in soft. And really, Kijima just fights his way and overpowers him and then, you know, has a wonderful look at goal here and gets the game winner.
They won the victory. Pompeo with a cross, and the Shalma Kijima goal! Goal!
Okay, so 2-1, that's how it ends. And you'll go back to Houston on Tuesday for the second leg of CONCACAF Champions League. Now all attention will switch to Sporting Kansas City this weekend. Here's Ben Olsen, the head coach, on his optimism.
That's part of the season sometimes, is you have to weather injuries and a few guys doing green cards and Hector's out. Quinones just did an ACL, you know, so he's out for the season. And that's why, you know, adding all that up, I think I have real optimism with this team in losing a game. Usually I'm not so optimistic after losing a game, but for what we've been dealt, I think, over the last month, it was nice to see some guys that maybe wouldn't have been in this game have good performances. Brooklyn Reigns, a young kid who ends up, you know, unfortunately, on the last play being a part of their goal, had a wonderful game. And it's, you know, it's nice to see some of these guys. Tate Schmidt, been out a year for an ACL. He came back and I thought had a good performance. So overall, we'll take the positive from it.
I'd add Sebastian Kovalchuk to that. I agree with Ben there with Schmidt, and Brooklyn Reigns gets really valuable minutes. But Sebastian Kovalchuk played the best game I've seen him play in a Houston Dynamo uniform. He's had a full preseason now, the Polish player. And people are moved forward in the pecking order with people not around. We'll see what's going to happen with Franco Escobar. Ben Olsen told me earlier in the week or 2 days ago on this show that that's all rumor. There's people saying that there's a deal being done with Inter Miami. There's other people saying he's been injured. But look, both these teams looked like teams in preseason. I would not make too much judgment on this, except for the fact that the players were aggressive. They were bought in. They were in a live situation. I think you expect unforced errors in this. You're coming off of Guadalajara, Mexico, and you're playing second and third teams down there. It's not a real test. This is a real test. And by the way, a real crowd too, right? Big crowd. And you expect the decision-making not to be the sharpest. We saw that. And then you expect, to some degree, the potential of injury, because all of a sudden everything is really ratcheted up from a physical and a mental standpoint because of the fact that this is real live competition in the CONCACAF Champions League, and ultimately to play to get to the FIFA Club World Cup. Really sad to see Sebas Ferreira go down, because I think as I saw online a number of people mention that Sebas looked bought in, was sprinting, trying to pressure people. We really didn't get to see much before he gets injured. But in the first minute, you saw him sprint 50 yards and close a player down. Feel bad for him. And I believe that's a hamstring. Real heavy early pressure from St. Louis. That's their trademark. And you can see, and this is not a slight, this is a very obvious observation, but you realize with so much that goes through the decision-making of Hector Herrera, his absence is absolutely glaring, and it was glaring in the early part of the game because the Dynamo were a little bit scattered with the pressing game of St. Louis, and Hector's so good at helping the Dynamo navigate a lot of that pressure with the amount of time he gets on the ball. And you know, this match reminds you of how good of a season that man had last year and how different it looks without his leadership. It's just the way it is. Others are going to have to step up. I think that's Coco Carrasquilla. But the amount of the ball that goes through Hector Herrera and the decisions he makes and how he enhances others and orchestrates, it's as good as anybody in the league. And his presence out there just gets reaction from an opponent. 713-780-3776, weighing on the Dynamo opener, pros and cons in that one. A lot of good things heading into their opener. Oscar, you're first up tonight here on Soccer Matters. What's on your mind, Oscar?
Hey, what's up, Glenn? How you doing?
I'm good. Yourself?
Hey, I was just wanting to know. Oh, I met you one time over there at the Heights. I was a FedEx driver. We chopped it up a little bit about soccer. It was before the World Cup.
Oh, I do remember. Yes. Did I give you one of the show T-shirts?
You gave me a Soccer Matters shirt.
Absolutely remember you. Your face is coming visionary to me. Yeah, that was fun. How are you?
Yeah. I'm good. No, I just wanted to talk about the Dynamo. Man, I think it was a great game yesterday, you know, from where they came. They've been coming from, like, for the last couple of years. I mean, the building process, I mean, last year was really good. This year, I mean, well, from last night's game, it's really encouraging because you see all these new faces that you haven't seen in, like, in a competitive game, and they get their chance. They go in there, and, you know, they put a great effort, a great performance. I mean, it was a hostile environment, 2-1. I mean, I'll take it any day. Coco Carrasquilla, man, such a baller. Arthur, such a force in the middle. And Schmidt, man, like the left back.
Yep.
I feel like he played a pretty great game just to get thrown in there from Escobar's injury. I mean, I think it was a solid performance. Now, Tuesday, we just got to get out there and support, and hopefully we turn it around.
I like your takes. I think it was a great night for Brooklyn Reigns, Tate Schmidt, Sebastian Kovalchuk, all getting more minutes, more opportunity in front of a big crowd. It's going to pay off down the road. I like your comments on all those players, Oscar. And, that's good positive stuff there. And let's see what happens against Sporting Kansas City. But truly, opportunity beckons when others get injured. And it's been a tough season for the Dynamo. I mean, Nelson Quiñones, goes out injured. Hector Herrera out injured. Escobar, that's three starters right there, right? So that's a lot. But I appreciate the comments, Oscar. I will see you around. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Again, you can't get too high or too low. Just was sad to see Herrera go off injured. So then Ben Olsen brought on Brad Smith to the left, moved Aliu to the center striker position. Look, you got the building blocks of a stable goalkeeper in back four, holding midfield. That five has to be the basis of the stability to build off while everything else in front of the team gets kind of figured out with injuries and all the other problems that this preseason has bought and brought. You know, there are challenges, but I think there's a lot of positives to take out of the game. And look, the games are going to come thick and heavy, so away we go. We got more callers here, right, I think? All right, let's go to Christian. Christian has got a comment on the Dynamo St. Louis game, CONCACAF. Christian. All right, Christian. What's happening? What'd you think of the game?
I mean, first of all, I want to congratulate you on your new time slot. I hope that many people will get interested in listening to more opinions about the world of soccer from your perspective on their way home. Secondly, when it comes down to the Dynamo, I know this was their first game this year against regular domestic... Well, actually, let me rephrase that. Their second game this year against regular domestic competition. But with the fact that they had to brush all that off to face off against Sporting Kansas City this Saturday, do you think that the game they had with St. Louis, I think yesterday, was more of just a bump in the road?
Well, like I said before, listen, they've had a lot of challenges in preseason. You've got three starters out at least. Your talisman and orchestrator, Hector Herrera, who for me could have been the MVP of the league last year, he's not available. And look, life has to go on without Hector Herrera. That means there's opportunity for others. And I think some of the players really took those opportunities. I think Brooklyn Reigns, despite the way the game ended, Tate Schmidt, Sebastian Kovalchuk, all these guys got really vital minutes, games that minutes that can give them confidence going into the season, and they're going to need to be utilized. Christian, thank you for that. Sorry, we were up on a hard break, so we had to get to that. This is a black limousine. There may be some people taking a limousine to the Dynamo Sporting game this weekend. You never know. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. 713-780-3776. It's Soccer Matters, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Big news here, 2024 Kick Cancer Soccer Clinic. It's hosted now by the United Soccer Club League, which that has 25 member clubs, including Olivier Finidori and Cyfair Dynamo. We're going to mention some of those names in the upcoming weeks. But this clinic is March 17th. I just posted on Twitter the link to it. It's 3 to 5:30 at Dias Park. But I really want to thank all the member clubs, 25 of them, in the United Soccer Club League that's going to be a part of this clinic. All the proceeds go to the 501c charity, Snowdrop Foundation. This is a grassroots event. It's only $50. Come out, support it for the big, big cause. All of us are touched by either our family or friends that have had cancer or have cancer. So, again, I just posted the link on Twitter, at Glenn Davis Sock, at Soccer Matters GD. This is Soccer Matters, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, 713, call now.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Hi, Houston. Mark LaGrease, one of the original Houston Dynamo. Just giving you a shout-out here from Long Island. Congratulating you on this amazing accomplishment of being named host city for the 2026 World Cup. Houston is a special place. I got to experience it firsthand. It's just going to be an amazing event. Enjoy every minute of it. Well deserved. And congratulations.
That was a great teammate of mine, Mark Lugris, back in the 80s. He was also the captain of the Puerto Rican national team. Great guy. Great guy. Still to this day, he's coaching college, he's coaching the youth game. Just absolutely all over it. So we were sad to see Sebas Ferreira go off with the hamstring. Like, the Dynamo needed any more injuries. Not sure if you saw the starting lineup. Fox had the broadcast was pretty rough. It had listed Luis Quesada in it, and there was actually a shadowy black figure that looked like Luis Quesada. I don't know what to say about that. But, you know, part of that gets me into the fact that we really never got a definitive reason why the Dynamo goal was called back. They could have been looking for the offside on the initial long ball on Coco Carrasquillo, who was against the last line of defense. But then it goes towards Aliou Ibrahim. It does not look like he touched it based on some of the video we saw. But if somebody saw anywhere where it was definitive, I don't know. Now, the guy who's calling the game is not at the game. He's in the studio. So unless they have some sort of connection to what's going on there and the referees, he's not going to be able to find out. He can only speculate, and that's what happened. So we're still out here speculating. We still don't know. Eventually, VAR decisions in MLS are going to be announced to the crowd. There's going to be a speeding up of players coming off the field, but that will not occur tonight, and I don't think that will occur Saturday as long as there are replacement referees. So that's another thing to keep an eye on tonight. Inter-Miami plays Real Salt Lake, so Inter-Miami is going to run into a very aggressive style of Pablo Mastroianni tonight at 7 o'clock, literally, in about 40 minutes or so. So there you go. More thoughts. What do you have from the Houston Dynamo so far? 713-780-3774. 713-780-3776, excuse me. That's ESPN. So on Monday, Ben Olsen said Escobar was out being rested because the target was to start him against Sporting Kansas City. The rumors to enter Miami are strong. Ben said those are rumors. got to look at it in a lot of different ways from the outside. I love Escobar, by the way. I love his spirit, his ability. Don't forget the header he pounded in to beat Sporting Kansas City in the playoffs. Don't forget the sacrifice he made to play left back for a season. He was brought to Houston to be a starting right back. And then, lo and behold, Griffin Dorsey, he emerges. This happens in sports. He gets a bigger contract. He's a big part of the reason why the season turns around. And this is business. And as much as everyone is about team, individuals have wants and desires. I'm not sure, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't think Franco Escobar wants his future to be at left back. You know, maybe one year I'm doing it for the team. And by the way, it was a very good left back. And being right-footed, that's not an easy thing to do. You heard us say that on the broadcast last year a lot. But he did give you that kind of inside run, you know, between a center back and an outside back that at times was very dangerous. But don't forget the header he scored against Sporting Kansas City in the playoffs to keep the Dynamo moving. Because it's not as though the Dynamo were raining in a lot of goals in the playoffs. 713-780-3776. They won it on defense and possession and timeliness. But I mentioned you at the beginning of the preseason to keep an eye on the Franco Escobar situation. Now, Coco Karaski is another one I want to talk to you about because Coco had just moments and glimpses of just wonderful stuff that everybody buys into. And he's really the guy that has to step up, I think, when it comes to ideas and being the main man to play through. He's not going to be Hector, but you're going to have to play through him more. I thought he had a wonderful ball to Aliyu for that goal that, for what I saw, should have counted. It was almost criminal. But nobody's given us an explanation. It's a bit of a mystery. But because he signed a new contract, the Dynamo had to pay him more. There's no question about that. He's an ultimate consummate pro. We know that because you watch him and his behavior. This guy's a professional and he's a young guy. This guy also wants to go to Europe. He made it very, very clear. So if somebody comes in and hits the number the Dynamo have for him in the summer, he could still go, okay? So it's not as though, you know, people are writing as though he's locked in for the rest of his career. As much as we'd like that, that's not the reality of the situation. Lamar Hunt, U.S. Open Cup, not going away. It's just, we're just trying to figure out what the MLS involvement will be in it. Does MLS have to be involved? I think after what we experienced last year, we loved it. But you even heard Ben Olsen say, in the beginning, you're resting guys, you just, and then all of a sudden you find out you're closer to the Holy Grail, and then you start playing your better team. Now, don't get me wrong. I loved it with the Dynamo last year. The MLS connection gives it a higher profile. You can see how it affects fans emotionally right now, which I love, who get the deeper meaning of the history of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. Now, can you imagine Dallas not playing in it when they're when their owner and the guy who built the first soccer-specific stadium and going all the way back to the Dallas Tornado, Lamar Hunt, who's been so involved in soccer, and his team's not playing in it? But I love the passion of the fans that are out there. There's a lot of people that are kind of tiptoeing around it. This is the system. Now, to understand the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup is to understand our deeper history in soccer before any MLS and anything else occurred here. What happened was people came to our country. They brought the things that they love, including soccer slash football, whatever you want to call it. And in these ethnic pockets, a lot of their culture, whether it was food, the way they did things in their countries, it was a beautiful thing, and it was very sectioned off. And they all played soccer differently. I was able to get a piece of that growing up because if I went to Bayonne, New Jersey, it was a lot of Portuguese kids. They played soccer differently. Kearney, it was the Scots, right? And there was the Irish as well in Kearney. There was a section that was German. All of these areas put forth ethnic-based teams for this cup. So it has tremendous history. It's one of the oldest trophies in America. And this is why people are passionate and fired up about it. And nobody should be upset at those people. As a matter of fact, they all deserve a pat on the back. Now, you also have to recognize that MLS is growth. We don't like some of the things about it. Nobody likes anything about everything about the NFL or the NBA or MLB either. You know, I've talked about the fact that sometimes it seems to be a bit too controlled and that we need to get, you know, you have people who, well, we should be on morning talk radio. Well, you're not going to get on morning talk radio if all you're going to do is, you know, not have any real debate about the game or take it a little bit deeper or praise Brooklyn Reigns, but also say that, you know, he ultimately takes some responsibility as a young guy for the last goal that scored in the final minutes of a game. It's called a learning moment. Nothing wrong with that. All in all, that was a great night for Brooklyn Reigns. And I think that's a night where you heard Ben Olsen. It's going to give him confidence to play him. Tate Schmidt. How about this guy? Imagine him. Started off the year last year for the Houston Dynamo. Great width he was bringing to the team. And then the guy tears his ACL. And you bet your bottom dollar that guy sat around at times thinking, is my career going to end here? How am I going to come back from this? Because that goes through every guy's mind. Sebastian Kowalczyk stepped up. So there's a lot of good. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Chiquito. ¿Qué pasó, Chiquito?
Hey, Mr. Glenn, I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing good.
I appreciate the chance to speak on the game last night.
Do it.
I do agree about Reigns. I thought he had a decent game, and I'm hoping he doesn't get, you know, too beat down on his one mistake. But besides him, I really wanted to highlight Kowalczyk. You mentioned him just right now. I thought he was fantastic during the entire game. To me personally, he looks like the exact type of player that we have needed for quite a while now. He sees the game, in my opinion, always one or two steps ahead compared to some of the other, you know, quote unquote, creative guys that we have in our midfield or in our forward line. And I think he's gonna kill it this season, and I hope he does.
Yeah, that's a great prediction. We're going to hold you to that one. But yeah, I thought he was very good last night. I think a full preseason. I think it was tough circumstances he was dropped into last year, you know, coming over when he did. And I love that he got the equalizer. But I think, to your point, looked a lot more comfortable, a lot more influential, very tidy on the ball. And we will definitely keep an eye on him. And that was a good start for him, getting a nice full preseason behind him as well. Chiquito, thank you for that. I appreciate that. Here's Ben Olsen on losing Sebas Ferreira. Now, this one is a tough one because I feel for Ferreira. You can tell we got reports out of Mexico. He's scoring goals. He's coming back. 2 years ago, he had 13. There's a lot of debate on you know, his loan to Vasco. He didn't get a lot of opportunity down there. Didn't score any goals. So here's Ben Olsen last night on losing Sebas. Sebas looked fitter, looked sharper, looked like he was more involved in what I think is the non-negotiable of what you're doing when the ball is lost. Here's Ben Olsen on Ferreira.
Losing a striker in the first, you know, portion of the game, probably will be out for quite a bit. I had to make some changes on the fly.
Yeah. So the changes on the fly were Brad Smith came on and Ali, who went to the center forward position. But again, here's another injury, right? This is not an easy start to the season. That said, it's an opportunity for others, and it's time to potentially keep things moving forward. Get yourself in a position, and I'm going to say this again, and I said this 2 days ago. This could be a very good thing for Hector Herrera. The Dynamo learn more about themselves. You have the playoff system in Major League Soccer. You get enough points to stay right in the playoff hunt. And then you insert Hector Herrera when he's ready to go. He's going to be fresher. He may only have to play three quarters of a season. Who knows what the number is. But then this is when you platform and you put it into overdrive, right? I could see that scenario working out very much. All right, let's go to Champions League. We'll start with yesterday. Arnautovic scoring for Inter Milan. They get the win against Atletico Madrid 1-0.
Look at Lautaro. Lovely touch to control. On his right, Lautaro! Denied by Oblak. Put back! And Arnautovic! This time, does break through! Persistence and perseverance from the substitute.
I like that. Persistence, perseverance. That's your bench winning you that game. Inter 1-0 over Atletico Madrid. The other game was PSV, a 1-1 draw with Dortmund. And then we go to today. Late show here. Porto. Arsenal dominates ball possession, can't produce goals, and Porto gets a 1-0 victory here. Wenderson Galeno, a Brazilian from outside the box, curls it into the side netting. This is 90 plus 4. So this is drama in Porto over Arsenal, right? It's league against league. By the way, Porto, Hector Herrera's first European team. And this was drama at its best.
They're still hopeful that just maybe a goal-scoring opportunity might fall their team's way. Sent forward by Otavio. Nicely done. And the shot into the back of the net with the last kick of the game. Galeno brings the moment of magic. And the Dragão shakes to its very foundations with excitement.
By the way, get that commentator, Kristen Ball. He called that. That was pretty cool. But the scenes and the images, I was watching this, was pretty spectacular. You love it. So now Porto goes back to Arsenal and with a one-goal cushion. So that's not a bad thing. All right, Victor Osimhen scored an equalizer for Barcelona in the 75th after Robert Lewandowski had scored in the 60th. So that one ended today 1-1. These were two good goals. Lewandowski's goal was a real striker's goal. It created a little small window, got a shot off, whipped it in. Caitlin Clark, the Iowa basketball player. You know, I was watching her the other night, and I'm thinking of something simple, which I'm sure everybody's thought of, but truly amazing. She's redefining the shooting range of the women's college basketball players. She's like the Steph Curry of women's basketball. Truly amazing. She's 22 years old. She's in her fourth year. She's going to break the all-time scoring record. And I guess she'll go into the WNBA. I guess she could play again a fifth year. But, boy, what a player. But right away I'm thinking, this is just like Steph Curry. Just launching these things. It's pretty incredible. You love people that have passion for the game and the way they play it. And she certainly has that. All right. Shout out here. Hugh O'Connor's Pub out on I-10, the Markey Entertainment Center. Get out there. Bangers and Mash, Shepherd's Pie, great burgers, fish and chips, great whiskey offering. It's Hugh O'Connor's Pub, I-10 in the Markey Entertainment Center, home of Liverpool Supporters Group, who had a 4-1 victory today over Brentford. They are happy. We will keep the talk going here tonight. We will also remind you of Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture, danishinspirations.com. I've got some exciting news next week to tell you about, some other things that are going to be happening here from the standpoint of content. And when we come back, we're going to get into some Premier League talk, some MLS talk with the one and only Warren Barton, a former defender with Newcastle United. And now you can catch him, and you have seen him on Fox Sports. We'll take a break. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. 713, call now. I'm a country man. Hey, I'm a country.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
The Young, one of those players whose future is again being discussed. Martinez, Pedri, slips through to Lewandowski! That's what he does. He's an expert. 35 years of age, but his eye for goal is as sharp as ever. Lindstrom to Anguissa. Into Osimhen. Is this the moment? Yes, it is. It's Victor Osimhen. The one man that Napoli know can score goals for them.
Well, that's no lie. You've got to wonder how long Osimhen's going to be there. By the way, the goal from Lewandowski is a goal scorer's goal. Big mention here for Robert Reed, the former Houston Rocket. Robert passed away from cancer. That was really sad to see today. I had no idea he had cancer. But when I came here in the 80s, we shared the locker rooms over at Houston Baptist University. Think about those times. The Rockets didn't have their own training facility. They were at a college. So were we. And we'd be in there showering, and they'd come in and say, "Hey, you soccer guys, get out of here. The Rockets are here." And And Robert Reeve was on that great team. He played at St. Mary's in Austin. Okay, next guest. Great friend of the show. He's been on here many times. One day I'm going to have to send him a couple of cases of wine. He is a former Newcastle United defender. You see him on Fox Sports. He is Warren Barton. He joins us now. Warren, how are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, my friend. The time I get that wine, it could be a vintage. you're all good.
I'm going to go dust a little of it off when I get home tonight, make sure it's okay. Did you see what I did there with the break music? I want to see if you saw what I did there.
Say again, Glenn. See what you did with the...
break music. The music I came back with. You know who that was, right?
Now, go on.
Dire Straits from the Newcastle area. Mark
well,
Knopfler.
One of them's a Newcastle, and the other one's a Sunderland fan, so we don't always get too close together, but one of them's a Newcastle fan, and one of them's a Macca.
Well, those two brothers there didn't get along too well, I don't think, either. I was going to do Dexy's Midnight Runners, but I thought that was too easy.
Yeah. I'm not a rock person, if I'm being honest. I'm more of a soul man.
Who are you liking? You're the OJs, Al Green,
Al Green, a bit of Barry White, Luther Van Joss. We like a bit of everything, Diana Ross. So yeah, we're all good.
I better switch it up. It's a case of champagne and bubbly then. All right, well, let's get into it. I'm just gonna say this. What's on Warren Barton's soccer mind right now?
Getting ready to watch Messi and into Miami. Obviously, Champions League takes priority in the daytime while I'm in California, but with the MLS and you've been involved, Glenn, from start to finish, how it is, and it's really got everybody's imagination. So, yeah, I mean, obviously the Premier League is where I am, and that's where my heart is, and obviously follow my beloved Newcastle and getting ready for the Euros that are coming for England as well. That'd be exciting, but... yeah, I was just obviously waiting to speak to yourself, and Messi, something that comes to mind straight away. I think it's fantastic. We've all been involved in the game a long time over here. This is my 16 years of being in the country, and I think this is the most excited I think anyone's been with the league kicking off and how they're trying to do it. So yeah, really, excited with that, Glenn. It's been a journey. You know that you've been there from the beginning, but. I mean, when you have someone like Suarez and Messi and Busquets all on the same team and Jordi Alba, you can't get but excited with that. That does remind you of the Champions League. So, yeah, just that's on my mind at the moment.
Yep. Warren, how difficult of a challenge is this for Tata Martino to blend all these guys that are older, that have, in some cases now with Suarez, have never played in the league, the travel, to blend that with youth, get the right balance? How big of a challenge is this?
I think it's huge, and you said that, the travel. I mean, people don't realise, I speak to a lot of people in Europe, oh, I want to come to America, it'd be great, but not only the travel, the time difference, the schedule that they're having, but Tata Martinez have had that experience as a manager. So he'll know when to leave someone out, when maybe not to travel across the country just for a game on a Tuesday night, and there's a big game maybe against Seattle at home or one of the bigger clubs, but he'll pick and choose. And I think that's where he's going to have to be at his best, when to let players relax and when to bring people on. And obviously Chris there, which has been the general manager there for a number of years. He's great success with Seattle, moved across with David Beckham at into Miami. So they're going to have players that maybe not going to be playing every game, but be ready to play when they're needed. And, whether that's the younger players coming through, or, you're getting a hungry player that's wants to learn off of someone like Messi coming along. So I think that's that balance that they have to have. But they're expected, obviously, to do well. They're expected to win it. But it's never easy to do that. Philly do it great. They get there or thereabouts. They're always challenging. Seattle be there. LAFC have done that. But they've got that great call, LAFC, about where they are, the stadium and everything else. So I think it's fascinating to see how it goes. I think as a neutral, you want them to do well into Miami. You want them to start doing well in the league. Otherwise, you go back to why we're getting older players to come over here. They're just coming for a pension and things like that. So that's where we've got to try and get away from that.
Warren Barton joining us, played with Newcastle in the Premier League. So back to Lionel Messi, are there going to have to be some hard decisions where he sits out maybe a match or two on the road and then all of a sudden people who came to see him are going to be up in arms, much like what happened in Hong Kong?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's something that's happened in the NBA. Talking about losing a great player from the Rockets with the NBA. That was a turning point when I think San Antonio started doing it first, where they was resting players, Kawhi Leonard, and people were paying their money to see the top stars. So that's quite new to soccer. You know, people are coming to watch their team rather than coming to watch the superstars. Yeah, that's Ronaldo and Messi has changed that, really, in a sense, because back home in England, if De Bruyne doesn't play, Man City's still got a full house. You know, people are still coming there to watch. Or if, you know, Bruno Guimaraes is not playing for Newcastle, there's still 52,000 Geordies turning up to watch it. So that's something that the league and obviously Messi are going to discuss about what he needs to do. But if he's injured, he's injured. And I think that's something that, you know, unfortunately with pre-season, that's what can happen. And obviously they paid a lot of money to go over to Hong Kong and tour to Saudi Arabia as well. So, you know, it's a balancing game of keeping yourself fit and fresh for the season, because people won't remember a pre-season game, Glenn. They're going to remember if you win the Supporters' Shield and MLS Cup. So that's where you have to be smart as a manager and as a player and as an older player as well, with all the travelling that comes with it.
Yeah, last time I looked, the digital ticket doesn't say there's a guarantee that all players are going to play either. So buyer beware, I think, a little bit as well. We're talking to Warren Barton, played with Newcastle. How about a shout or two on Newcastle? Callum Wilson's got this weird pectoral injury. Isak, Trippier, Miguel Almiron with MLS connection. Give us a little Newcastle United update from a man who played for him.
I mean, the club is back on track. You know, with my 7 years that I had there, was in the, you know, Champions League, challenging, you know, for Premier League and Europe and everything else, F Cup. So they're getting back to that way. They've had a toll with injuries. Pope, the goalkeeper, is a big loss. You know, we haven't been able to keep a clean sheet in double-figure games at the moment, so that's been difficult. And I think not having your regular goalkeeper spreads a little bit of uncertainty to the back line. And like anything, Glenn, you know as well, the teams have found out with Newcastle, they try and press, they try and put you under pressure. If you can break that and get their back line, they haven't really got a true holding midfield player, a true six. So they're a little bit vulnerable once you break that press and you start going at the back line. And then you've got that uncertainty of a goalkeeper, like, do they hold the line, do they drop off, do they go left, do they go right? These decisions have to be made quickly. And unfortunately, at the moment, they're conceding goals. So they've had a great time last season, and I think the reality's kicked in. They're still seventh in the league. They're still in the FA Cup. They've got the Kane coming up against Blackburn. And I've always said, if they can get to a final or hopefully win a trophy and finish in Europe, now whether Europe is Europa, then that will have to, you know, be this season. But if you do well in that, you can get you in the Champions League. So from where they was, you know, 2 years ago to where they are now, it's still night and day. But money with expectation comes pressure, and some of the players have got to try and handle that at the moment. But the club is definitely in a much better position going forward than it was 2 years ago. But as I said, the expectation now is high. People want to compete, but FIFA fair play, the rules are there. And, you know, Newcastle, unlike some clubs, are sticking by that. And that may cost them in the long run, but that's the rules, and that's what everyone's trying to adhere to.
Warren Barton joining us. Warren, I found a really cool clip. I love this, from Jurgen Klopp. I want to play this for you, and then I want to get a reaction. And the thing is, we know Jurgen Klopp is leaving at the end of the season. We just heard today that Thomas Tuchel is going to do the same thing at Bayern Munich. So here's the soundbite from Jurgen Klopp. I want you to react to this.
The 11 players who start, they love me. The 7 on the bench maybe like me. The others hate me. For this weekend. And then we start again. Your leadership has to be like this, that everybody understands why you do things. Means you do this, you get that. And if that's clear, then the players have a clear book where they can, okay, if I do that, I might not get into the team tomorrow, but in a week's time, I have a good chance, and that's it.
I love that from Jurgen Klopp a lot, Warren. And you, as someone that has been in these squads where there's this intense competition, we always hear, oh, the locker room's great in MLS. I don't buy it.
Oh, no. No, there's a healthy competition for spots. You know, when I was playing, you know, the people in my position, I got on well with them, but they wasn't coming around for dinner and celebrating. You know, you want to compete. You play at the highest level to play every week. And Jurgen Klopp's right. It's not the ones on the 11 you've got to keep happy. It's the ones sometimes not even sitting behind you, but sitting up in the stands. So, you know, people want to play, you would hope. There has been times when you think the players are quite happy just sitting there picking up a check, but
I think Klopp's brought that mentality to Liverpool, and probably could only a club like Liverpool, Glenn, that's very much about their history, about tradition. No one's ever bigger than the club. They've made that perfectly clear. We've seen what's happened to Manchester United, where players think they're bigger than the club. That's not been able to happen at Liverpool because of their fans, because of the club, and because of the way Klopp has run it as well. So, you know, he's instilled that into his players. What will be interesting is, you know, who they go on afterwards. And Thomas Tuchel is a totally different thing. He seems like he's lost a changing room because of how he is with his personality. You know, he's very abrupt with people. He's very condescending with people. And that ain't going to work with top players. They're not going to accept that. So, you know, that point of view is where it's two different styles of management. And, you know, Thomas Tuchel should take a bit of a leaf out of Klopp's book, where you treat people how you want to be treated. And, you know, that's, I was lucky enough to have Sir Bobby Robson and Kenny Dalglish is my manager, talking about Liverpool, and they treat everybody the same. And that's where they got a response from their players of how to perform. And that's where Kenny was so successful at Liverpool. You know, and then I only get to speak to Steve Nicol, that we see all the time on ESPN, and how he was. And, you know, speaking to people about Alan Shearer, speaks about Sir Bobby or myself, you know, they treat people the right way, and you get the best out of people like that. And that's something that Klopp's been able to do, and he's a big fan's favourite. And the only thing I think, Glenn, I don't know whether you agree, is when he turned around and said, I would never coach another club in the Premier League, he's still a young man, and the Premier League is where everybody wants to be. So that was a hell of a statement when he said that. Maybe the emotions were there, but and maybe he truly believes it. But it's a big statement to say, you know, earlier on, because he's still a young man. But, yeah, the Premier League are going to miss him because he's a wonderful personality and a great advert for the game.
Yeah, I think that's great what you just said. He is a symbol of the Premier League. There's no question about it. I mean, I know people in Houston, my buddies that watch the Premier League, and they say their wives like Klopp just because of his personality and everything, and tune into the Liverpool game. So go figure. I think treating people correctly and with the right balance is a good thing, and I think you stated that perfectly. Do you get concerned ever that Major League Soccer, the American player, may be slightly getting nudged to the side a little bit? You know, we had a Dynamo team last night that only started three Americans.
Yeah, no, I am, Glenn. I think, you know, the Premier League have gone with that avenue, and that happened. The rules have to change, but there's been this underlying current of going to South America and getting these young players, which is not allowing our young players to get the opportunity. And people say in the game, well, the talent's not there, the ability's not. How do you know until they play them? Now, how do you know whether someone's good enough until you give them the chance? So I think it becomes sexy, and it catches everybody's eye if they go to Paraguay and get a young 90. And not to say there's not good players out there. I'm not saying there's not, but I think first and foremost, you should look at home, because that's where I think there's a lot of good young players. You know, I'm involved in the youth game, and you see the national team, and you see teams playing and kids that you've got to give them a chance. And, you know, the rules are going where you want to have more homegrown players. Not necessarily, when I say homegrown, I mean people that are from the US. You know, you can, you know, see players come through, but you've got to give them a chance. But it does remind me so much of what happened in the Premier League in the late 90s, early 2000s, where it was sexy to go and get a Czech Republic international rather than let a John Terry come through the ranks and let him have his chance. But lucky for Chelsea, they did that. But they was looking for, you know, a German centre-half or an Austrian centre-half, and they had someone like that on their doorstep. So, you know, you've got to be conscious of it's your game. The MLS is America's game, and you've got some talented players out there, but you've got to be brave enough as a coach to play them in there. But it goes back to that man management as well. You've got to make sure the kids are ready to go in there and play and give them that opportunity and see it. But you know, until you get given that chance, you don't know. And if they don't take their chance, a young American kid, that's their loss. That's the nature of the business. And I'm not saying you give them 10, 20 games, but you give them a couple of games to try and see if they're good enough and around that environment and can they handle it. And I can tell within the first 10, 15 minutes, I think that a kid in training, or a kid, does he deserve to be there? You know, Jude Bellingham, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to realise that, you know, that he's able to handle the pressure at Real Madrid. He's more than comfortable in that environment. And vice versa with a young player, you know, training at Houston or Portland or training with Messi. Go and train next to him and see if you can handle yourself. If you're petrified and keep looking at it, you ain't going to be good enough. And that's the nature of the business. But I think we have to be really careful you know, that we don't go away from our players, because there's a lot of good players here, and also the fans connect to them. You know, you've got to look at like Jordan Morris at Seattle. You know, in that area, from that area, knows a lot of his people, friends are in the stadium, but they have a connection with him because he's such a big part of that club. So, you know, you've got to be careful that you don't lose players like that just for the sake of to sell a couple of more shirts.
Yeah, you got to have locals involved. And if you're not, then you have to question what's going on with your player development system. I don't think there's any question. By the way, you know, the college game parallels the same thing now. I mean, you're seeing more and more older foreign college players now playing at a lot of the top programs around the country.
Yeah, I think that needs to change because the foreign players coming in from wherever it is, whether it's Europe, wherever, they're 23, 24 and coming in. And our young kids, you know, I have a club that's in the ECNL, and the majority of these kids just want to go to college and have that experience and represent their school. They've got, you know, they've got no chance. I know it's, you know, they go around and they bring these kids in. Going back to what I said, what's more important? Is it the development of young players, or is it just bringing players in to compete and win? And, you know, at college, with all due respect, does that really matter? You know, I mean, at the end of the day, you're talking about having a program that develops young, talented players. That's what would excite me more than anything, that I've got a conveyor belt of young kids that come through my program that do end up playing as a pro. Not so many trophies that I've won, and I can show everybody around my trophy room as a coach. It's like, how many players have I got through my program and are playing at a high level?
Warren, as always, great stuff. We're going to get prepared. We're going to go watch this Inter-Miami RSL game, see what Pablo Mastroianni has up his sleeve. As always, thanks for coming on. We could have kept going on and on. Love talking to you about the game, as always. Great job. Thank you for your time, and we'll be in touch soon. Keeping an eye on that champagne. It'll be ready.
Okay, my man. I'll get the ice ready for you, but always a pleasure, Ben. No problem.
Likewise, Warren. That's Warren Barton. Does a lot, by the way, also in player development, as you heard him mention there. 2024 Kick Cancer, hosted by United Soccer Club League here in Houston. There's 25 member clubs. This is a Kick Cancer clinic. It's coming up Sunday, March 17th, 3 o'clock to 5:30 at Dias Park. It's only $50. Check out my social media. We're going to have the links posted there where you can sign up. A big thank you to those 25 clubs. Big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. You get in a car boat, motorcycle accident, you need the best in representation. Representation that's going to work for you 24/7 nights and weekends. That is the Daspit Law Firm. It's John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL now for my producer extraordinaire, Guillermo Lazo Romero. He's got to go with three names. I'm going to just start calling him Lazo, and we're going to do Brazilian maybe. I think that would be pretty hip. All right, Guillermo? We'll think about that. That'll do it for tonight. Until next Monday and Wednesday, I'm Glenn Davis. Remember, soccer matters.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.